Amen. Well, turn again, please, to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And I want us to consider together the Lord's dealings with this man Levi, or Matthew, as he's referred to elsewhere. Mark chapter 2. And our text is found in the verse 14. And we're also looking at the verse 17. The verse 14. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And in verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We'll seek the Lord's face together in prayer. We need the Lord's help around the Word of God, and so we'll seek the Lord's face together. Our gracious Father, we do thank Thee for how Thou didst step into the life of this man, Levi. And Lord, we thank Thee that Thou didst come to him in all of his need. And Lord, we pray, should there be any unsaved among us here this morning, we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt even come to them. And this day that they will hear the very voice of God speaking to them, Follow me. Lord, we pray that like Levi, they will rise. They will leave every hindrance behind. They will come and follow after the Lord. We thank Thee that Thou art still in this business of calling sinners to repent. Lord, we pray that there might be those that would hear that very call this day. And so we pray that Thou will come and give us help in the Word. We pray that there will be here a message for each one of us. Lord, we pray that every child of Thine and every dear unsaved one will hear God's Word to their hearts. So come and give that unction and enablement of the Holy Spirit. In the Lord's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. John Flavel said, The world is a great hospital, full of sick and dying souls, all wounded by one and the same mortal weapon, sin. The world is a great hospital, full of sick and dying souls. But the good news of the gospel is this, that while the world is full of sick and dying souls, there is a great physician that came to heal the sin-sick soul. Jesus Christ is that great physician. And what beautiful words then these are in the verse 17, where the Lord said at the end of that verse, describing himself as a physician, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He spoke of how those that are sick need a physician, and he was explaining that he himself is that great physician. Now, as you look, notice these words are spoken in the context of the conversion of Levi, or as he's called elsewhere, Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector, or as it's translated here in the Authorized Version, a publican. Though he was born a Jew, he was working for the Roman government as a tax collector. One day, as he was sitting at his tax booth, the Lord passed by. And the Lord spoke the same words that he had spoken to the fishermen of Galilee. Follow me. And what a remarkable scene followed as this man that was filled with greed left that tax booth and he followed after the one that had addressed him. Then when Levi followed the Lord, they went to Levi's house. There was there a great meal that was prepared, and it wasn't just a cup of tea and a biscuit, but there was a great meal, a feast that took place in the house of Levi, for it says in the verse 15, it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, and when it says there that he sat at meat, it's not referring to sitting in a chair like what you're doing right now, but the idea of reclining. And so the word has that idea there. Jesus was reclining at the feast in his house. And that is what they did when they had a meal then. They reclined around the table. Luke puts it in Luke 5 verse 29, Levi made him a great feast. And Levi was a man that before this we would have associated with greed. A man that we would associate with trying to get all that he could. He loved money. But something now dramatic had taken place. For this greedy man now was a generous man. And he called many of the people that he associated with. And he provided this great meal for them. And something very dramatic had taken place within this very short period of time. The conversion of Levi, him following after the Lord, had opened up great opportunities for witness. For the people that Levi invited were not the Pharisees and scribes. They were not even the ordinary people, as it were, in that particular neighbourhood. But in verse 15, it talks of how many publicans and sinners came. They were the people that Levi very often was associated with. They were certainly people that Levi had company with. And so the conversion of Levi opened up a great area of opportunity to bring the gospel to that whole group of individuals. And that is true to this day when the Lord saves an individual. It opens up a whole avenue for bringing the message of the gospel. Because sometimes as Christians we can have a small social circle. And if the people that we are most acquainted with are the people of God, and we can understand why that is so. But someone who is newly converted has a much wider social circle, as it were. And there is in their conversion then an opportunity to be able to share the gospel with those individuals. And that was the case here then with Levi. And as far as this venture was concerned, it certainly seemed to be very successful. Because in verse 15, it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. They followed him. And so there was something very dramatic, not only done in Levi's house, but through a number that were in this company as well. And this is not our subject today, but when it speaks there of the Lord sitting down with publicans and sinners, in no way is that saying that the Lord engaged in the sin of those individuals. In no way is it saying the Lord commended those individuals for their sin. Nor is it a license for us to go to dens of iniquity. There are those that misuse this text and they say, I can go clubbing, I can go to this place and that place because the Lord sat down with sinners. And the Lord never went to become unclean. The Lord remained clean. He communed with these people, but he remained separate from them. But while this venture was successful as far as Levi having this opportunity and then these individuals followed the Lord, not everyone was happy. The scribes and Pharisees were watching on. And their hatred of Christ was growing and growing. They were continually finding fault with the Lord, and we'll see that over the coming weeks more and more. And so in the verse 16, when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And they were saying that it was wrong for a preacher, a teacher, to actually have company with people like that. And of course, that allegation was absolutely wrong. We are to be a distinct people, but yet we must actually been able to communicate and to have integration in the sense of being able to sit down with people to bring the gospel to them. And so here were publicans and tax collectors. They were regarded as the lowest of the low. They were regarded as vile sinners, and we'll see more of that in a moment or two. They were therefore classed as immoral. And the people here that are described publicans and sinners, we are viewing people that are harlots,
people that were guilty of immorality as well as these tax collectors. And the Lord then said, I came to be a great possession even to people like that, to the most vile in society. How did the Lord change Levi? Because he is the great physician. Why did the Lord sit down with these other sinners? Because he is the great physician of the soul. And that's what I want to look at then this morning. Christ, the great physician. I want to see, first of all, the enlisting or the calling of the physician. Because in the verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want you to think of those words, I came. I came as the great physician. And when the Lord said there, I came, and it is implied I came to be that great physician, he was not referring merely to coming to Capernaum. And of course, there is a sense in which that is true. He did come to Capernaum to be the great physician. But it's speaking of something even greater than that. It's speaking of the Lord's incarnation. The Lord taking human flesh. I came into this world then, we could say. I came to be the physician that I might call, not the righteous, but I might call sinners to repentance. I remember that occasion when the Lord was preaching in the synagogue, and the scroll that was handed to the Lord was Isaiah chapter 61. The Lord read those words in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me. And the Lord was showing, or he went on to show, that he himself is the one that has been spoken of there. God sent Christ, he hath sent me, to bind up the brokenhearted. When the Lord quoted those words, God has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. The Lord then went on to say, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. The Lord is that physician that came to bandage up the broken. He came to bandage up the crushed, the wounded in heart. In other words, he came to be this physician of the soul. We think of those great words in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Or in light of these words, then we could say, God so loved a sick world and sinners in that sick world that he gave his only begotten Son to be the physician. You think of those words in Isaiah 1 where the sinner is described, the whole head is sick, the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot even to the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That's how the Lord sees a sinner then. One who is sick. One who is wounded. One that is without a doctor. Because those wounds have not been bandaged up effectively. But the great news is this. Jesus Christ is the Son of God that came to be that physician. Now, why does God see sin like disease? Why is there this comparison between sin and disease? I want to suggest just a couple of reasons for that. Disease, unless treated, will result in death. Disease, unless treated, will result in death. And is that not a picture of sin then? Remember how the word says, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. Sin, unless treated, will result in death. You could say also that disease can be genetic. Is that not very true concerning sin? The disease of sin is genetic. When Adam and Eve sinned, they did not just fall themselves, but the whole of mankind fell. So we are all born in sin. The disease of sin is passed from generation to generation. We've all been conceived with this genetic disease, the disease of sin.
Why did Levi do sinful things? Because he was born a sinner. Levi was regarded as a traitor. Because these tax collectors, they were employed by the Roman government. And so Levi, as his name suggests, was born a Jew. He had all the privileges of the Jewish people. But on account of sin, he had decided that he would associate with the Roman government. And the Jews, they considered that to be a great act of treachery. For the Romans were, of course, the enemies of the nation of Israel. And so for a Jew to associate and to benefit from Roman occupation, that was seen to be a great act of treachery. And the Jews really resented the tax collectors, these publicans. And therefore, they were really outcasts in society. If someone became a publican, they were automatically cutting themselves off from their family. They were cutting themselves off from the house of worship, most certainly. And why would someone, knowing that they would suffer if they became a tax collector, why would they go ahead and become a tax collector? Why did Levi do this when he knew that that was what was going to follow? I suggest to you that he was a man of greed. He was a man of love of money. And as he saw the prospect of money, he loved that more than even the blessing of family or the blessing of being able to go to the place of worship. Sin, you see, then, had a great hold of this man. He was not only regarded as a traitor, he was regarded as a thief. And for that whole system of tax collecting by these publicans was one that was open to great abuse. And the Romans, they would set a particular amount of money that had to be gathered by the tax collector. And that money then would have to be submitted to the Roman government. But monies that were above that particular levy that was set, they were the property of the tax collector. So it was his duty to gather such and such an amount. But if he was able to gather more, the extra would belong unto him. And so, for example, in the tax upon imports, those prices could be greatly inflated then by the tax collector. And therefore, he did very well out of it. And the Jewish people then considered them to be thieves, because they were effectively stealing and that they were grossly overcharging. Here was a man then, Levi, that was indulging in sin, enjoying his sin. And yet Christ said, I came to this world for a man like that. I came to call sinners to repentance. And remember, this is being spoken in the context of the conversion of Levi. I came into this world for a man just like this. A sinner. Or as Paul put it in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ came to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. And the Lord then came to save the worst of men. Men like Levi. Men like Paul. Men like me. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So as we think here of Levi, and how there was this call, this mandate placed upon Christ to come for the sinner, it shows the sinner his great need. He needs a physician. And if you're here this morning without the Lord, I want you to understand that your soul is indeed a sin-sick soul. That you're that you're cut off from God. You're separated from him on account of your sin. As God looks upon you, you're full of wounds, as it were, that have never been effectively covered. But the good news is this. There is a physician that has been sent to deal and to help your soul. The enlisting of the physician. But I want to see then, secondly,
the encounter with the physician. For in verse 14, it says, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And the Lord then was this great physician. He was passing by Levi, but as he was passing, he stopped. He came to him. He spoke to him. And Levi therefore had an encounter with the physician. Now you think of a doctor in the physical realm. If that doctor is going to see people healed, the sick must actually meet with the doctor. So there could be the greatest doctor in the world employed in Joondalup Hospital. There could be there a great expert in lung cancer, for example. But of people that are feeling unwell, and people that have that disease, but they will not confess it, they will not go to the doctor, their disease is not going to be dealt with. And so it's good that there is a doctor. But the ill will only be made well when they go to the doctor. It's not enough to know there is one. They must meet with him. There must be that encounter. And so it is in this case. When the Lord said, I came to be this great physician, he meant not just to say, it's good for you to know I'm here. But he meant to say, you need to meet with me. There needs to be an encounter between the sick and the physician. If you look with me at verse 17, it says, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And there are those that have been confused, we might say, over those words in verse 17, I came not to call the righteous. And the Lord there was talking about the Pharisees. And so some have said, well, is the Lord saying that these Pharisees were righteous? And was the Lord saying that these righteous men really had no need of a doctor? Was the Lord teaching that these Pharisees were all right the way they were? Evidently the Lord was not saying that. For everywhere else the Lord spoke of the vileness of the Pharisees. They looked mighty fine on the outside. And they were like a tomb that was whitewashed. Very pretty. But inside there was deadness. And so while on the outside these Pharisees may have looked very religious men, they were certainly not righteous on the inside. They were certainly not right before Almighty God. So what did the Lord mean then when he said that there were those that had no need of a physician, they that are whole have no need of the physician, that there were these that he called the righteous, I came not to call the righteous? Was he meaning that there are people that can get to heaven their own way without the physician? No, the Lord was not saying that. But what the Lord was saying is this. These Pharisees thought they were righteous. These Pharisees would not confess they were sick. They said, we are whole. We are absolutely well. And therefore they said, we will never go to the physician. The Lord said, I came to call those that will acknowledge that they are sick. I came to deal with those that will confess that they have that great need. You remember how in Luke 18 the Lord spoke a parable, and it says he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's these Pharisees. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. They thought they were good enough. And they thought that men like Levi never would be able to be saved. But they were sinners, though they assumed they were not. And the Lord said, I came to save people who will see their sin and acknowledge that indeed they are sinners. The confession of sin then lies at the very heart of God's plan of salvation. If one is to be saved, he must say, I have need. The first step to heaven
as the Christian song says, is knowing you're lost. The first step to heaven is confessing, I am sick, in need of healing. Therefore, today, you must come to say before Almighty God, I am a sinner. But there is this great news. Christ was sent by God for the sinner. And as we think of this encounter that Levi had, there was this encounter then with the other publicans as well. In verse 15, it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus. And the Lord was speaking to these individuals. The Lord was dealing with them. The Lord was dealing with them because he had a tender heart toward them. He was filled with compassion for them, reaching out to them. You think of how Matthew, in his account of this particular conversion, his own conversion, Matthew put it in Matthew 9 verse 13, go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy. The Lord said when he dealt with Levi, I will have mercy. It is the Lord's prerogative to come to individuals and to minister to them. And it's our great longing the Lord would come to you, that you would have that blessed encounter with the Lord, and that you would realize, yes, I am a sick soul, but there is a physician to bring that great healing. The enlisting of the physician, the encounter with the physician, and I want to see then thirdly the exhortation of the physician, because in the verse 17 at the end of the verse, the Lord says, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. I came to call sinners to repentance. And that's what the Lord then had been doing when he came to Levi and he said, follow me. He was calling a sinner to repentance. That's what the Lord had been doing when he met with the sinners and publicans around the table. The Lord was not there just to have a good time. The Lord was there to call sinners to repentance. You think there at that table, we can see the purity of Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, and he was confronting the sinfulness of man. As the Lord was meeting around that table, he didn't say, well, let's try and work out a way that we can all be friends, that somehow you sinners can be made a friend of me, the most holy one of God. And that's not what happened. You remember those great words in Isaiah 1? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. When we have those words, come and let us reason together, it's not that the Lord invites the sinner to come and enter into negotiation. And the word reason there rather has the idea, come and hear what I say. Come, let us reason together in that sense. And that's what the Lord was doing then with these sinners. He was not trying to find mutual ground and work out a way that it might be okay for these individuals. But he called them to repent. And that's what had happened to Levi. He had repented. And we read there in verse 14, towards the end of the verse, he arose and followed him. Or in Luke 5:28, he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi then, this tax collector, he got up from that table and he left it all behind. That thing that he had so loved, that thing that he had so craved after, he left that money on the table and he followed after the Lord. He once loved all of that, but now he left it because he came to hate it. And he hated it because he realized that for all of those years, his love of money had taken the very place of God. That the love of money had been his God. Money had been his God. And now then, he hated it. And he left it behind. Sometimes the unsaved can't understand why a new convert will
give up things that are legitimate, things that are not sinful in and of themselves. And so maybe someone before their conversion was deep into sport, and sport was their god, and after their conversion they leave it behind, and the unsaved, they can't understand that. Why does he leave it behind? Whenever there's nothing maybe in itself that's wrong, why does he abandon it? Because he sees that it became his god. He sees the danger in it, and he loved it in those past days, and since it was his god, he now hates it. And that's what happened then to Levi. This money was his god, and he hated it. He left behind. He was a transformed man. Maybe the reason why you're not converted this morning is because there's something that you refuse to let go. And of course, I'm speaking humanly speaking here. And the reason why you will not come to the Lord is there is something that you're determined that you will not let go of. There is a god that you have. There is a tax booth. And you sit there. And you're determined that you will not leave it. And I want you to hear then today the words of the great physician. He calls to you, repent. You must repent. You must be brought to that place where you see that every other god is against Almighty God. You must repent of it and turn and follow after the Lord. Now, thinking of this exhortation, repent, how does repentance save? How does repentance save? Now, some think that there's some merit in repentance itself. And so among many professed evangelicals today, if there is some dear individual and they are concerned over whether they are truly saved or not, the preacher will say to them, well, remember the day you repented. Go back to that pew where you said the sinner's prayer and look at that pew, and there is the source of your assurance of salvation. Not so. Our assurance is not found in the greatness of our repentance. The merit is not in the repentance, but in the physician. Think again of the person that's suffering from cancer. They stay at home and they say, I have no need to go to a doctor. But then there becomes this growing awareness, I am ill. I must go. And so they go and they visit the doctor. The doctor gives the treatment, and in God's mercy they are made well. And that person maybe then looks back and they say, going to the doctor saved my life. Now there is a sense, of course, in which that is absolutely true. But it wasn't the train journey that saved their life. It was the fact that they had the treatment. It was the treatment that did the work. And it was absolutely crucial that they made that journey. They had to make it. But it was the treatment. So then we think of faith and repentance. Faith and repentance are the instruments that bring us to the physician. It's not that there's some merit in our faith. It's not that there's some merit in our repentance. All the merit is in the physician, in his work. And so then when there is this encounter with the physician, there is a change because of him. And it's a change through his work on the cross, because he said here, I came, and I emphasize too, when the Lord said I came, he's talking about his incarnation. And then on down this passage, he speaks of how the bridegroom would be taken away. What happened between the incarnation and the ascension? The Lord's death and resurrection. An account then of the Lord's holy life. An account of the Lord's death and his resurrection. The Lord saves the sinful soul. I want you to turn back with me to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. And you're probably aware that there are a number of great Jehovah titles through the Word of God. And we have one of them here in this particular chapter. Jehovah Rophi.
meaning I am the Lord that heals. Exodus chapter 15 and the verse 26, where Moses was saying, "If I will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord the healer." Now that particular title was revealed to God's people in the context of a great miracle. God's people had come to a place called Marah. They were thirsty, and there was water in Marah, but the water was bitter. In verse 25, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, when the tree was put into the bitter waters, the waters were made sweet. There is a beautiful picture of the cross of Jesus Christ. It was this tree being placed right into the bitter waters that brought about their healing, that brought about them becoming sweet. And so then we think of the sinful soul of man and what is able to deal with our soul. Nothing but the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary. The Lord is the healer. Jesus Christ is the great physician of the sinful soul. He is Jehovah Rapha because of the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 5, "By his stripes we are healed." Or you think how in heaven, in Revelation 22, it speaks there of the tree of life. Its leaves are for the healing of the nations. Or you think of the uplifted serpent of brass in the wilderness. Remember how the people had the poison from the snakes in their bodies. But when they looked to that uplifted serpent of brass, they were made well. And the serpent of brass, as the Lord made it clear, is a picture of himself lifted up on Calvary. The lifted up Christ upon the cross. He is the physician because of the cross. The challenge then to the sinner is this: will you look? Will you repent of your sin? Will you believe? And this healing is free. The treatment that the Lord gives is not one that the sinner must contribute to, but it's absolutely free. The payment has been made in the work of the cross. And oh, today then, that you will come as a needy sinner to this great physician, and today that you will be healed. The world is a great hospital full of sick and dying souls, all wounded by one and the same mortal weapon, sin. Will you come and be saved? May you come to the great physician. We trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts.